Do you ever read the Word of God and wonder, whoa, I never saw that before? You've read it before, but somehow something there you never saw before. You just didn't see it. Yeah. Well, I've wondered sometimes how do people approach the Word of God? I know sometimes we get instruction. You know, somebody tells us, you should pray and then read it. You should read a devotional first. Or you should think about being there where Jesus is and his disciples and be Jesus or be the disciples or be one of the crowd. So one day, Jesus was standing right by the shore. You know, the water was there, and he was standing here, and the crowd pressed in on him. I actually love the King James because it says the crowd pressed in on him. And you can just feel it, can't you? They're thirsty. They want Jesus. They want to see him. So, you know, people as short as Zacchaeus, they're going around, I can't see. So they kind of push ahead and others are pushing. And Jesus is right at the edge, you know, he can't. And people can't hear and they can't see Jesus. And Jesus wants to see everyone and he wants everyone to hear. So there's Peter and he says to Peter, Peter, can I get in your boat? And can I just be in here while I talk to the people? Can you just push me out a little? So the thing that is astounding is he had to sit down in the boat and come back a little bit from the people so they could see him and hear him. Is that a little bit mysterious to you? You want to get so close to Jesus. You just want to get close to him. But then others can't see. Others can't hear. So Jesus backs up a little bit onto the boat and sits down. And then he starts to talk to the people. And they're all listening. It says in some versions they listened, some that they heard him. They heard the word of God. And I was thinking about they could see him. You know, remember when Hagar, you know, belonged to Abraham, and she was going to have a baby by him, and she was out in the desert by a spring, and God came and talked to her, maybe through an angel, or she called it God, called him God, and she said, you are the God who sees me. And so I'm imagining Jesus back a little bit. He can see each one, like I'm trying to do now. I want to see each one of you. Jesus wants to see you. Jesus does see you. He wants you to listen. And so the people, they were so hungry for the word of God. And so they just kept listening. They were so, you know, caught up in his words. Wow. No one ever spoke like this before. This was in the early part of his ministry, so maybe some had heard him in the synagogue once or twice, maybe not. And they were just amazed and wanted to keep on listening. And so they did. And Jesus was in the boat a little ways back so everyone could see and everyone could hear. Then he finished speaking, and they started to disperse and go their way. And Jesus... He looked at Peter, and he said, Peter, push out a little into the deep and let your nets down to catch fish. I was thinking a lot about this, thinking about Peter's thoughts. First, Peter was probably thinking, oh, my goodness, this is a carpenter turned preacher. I've been a fisherman all my life. I know stuff. I know how to catch fish. You think he might have thought that? It sure seemed logical. How many times do we think we know something already? We already know it. I mean, big deal. Oh, but Jesus said, go out. So Peter said, well, you know what? We fished all night and didn't catch anything. But okay, if you say so, I'll go out. I was very struck by that. I don't think I ever saw that before. He saw Jesus. He listened to Jesus. And he wasn't just hungry for God. He wasn't just, you know, thinking, nice man, nice words. He obeyed. He must have decided, okay, I'm going to trust him. And I'm going to go out. And I'm going to put my nets down. Though I'm exhausted, I worked all night. Though I've just listened to Jesus for another hour or two. Okay, I'll put my net down. And so he does. And you know what happened. It filled with fish. So much so that he and his partner, Andrew is what I think, his brother, started to break. The net started to break. They started calling for help. Help, help. And so James and John came, and James and John had their boat right alongside, and they tried to lift it into their boats until both boats were sinking. Can you put yourself in the disciples' place and imagine? Whoa. You know, we hear stories so much, we might forget what it means. But think about it. Whoa. I fished all night. I know where the fishing is. I know how deep to go out. I know if it's good to do this in the daytime. It's not good to do it in the day. And here it is. But they had to have help. Peter couldn't do it alone. He had to have help with the others. And so they came, and Peter said, oh, I'm a sinful man. Please go for me. You know, I was thinking about that. You sometimes feel, I am so sinful. You know it. Sometimes you don't know it, but sometimes you really know it. And you want to get away from God. And yet at the very same time, please don't leave me. Please, I need you. I want you. It's like that. And that's how it was with Peter. And so then Jesus said, you know what? Don't be afraid. All the disciples were kind of like, whoa, so like astonished, almost scared. And then Jesus said, come follow me, and you can fish for people. And so they did. They became fishers of, as our old way of saying was, fishers of men, but maybe today we should say fishers of people. Fishers of men and women and boys and girls. But what is so beautiful in this story? Did you catch it? Peter couldn't do it by himself. He needed others. You know, for koinonia, it's just a time, or sometimes some call it a covenant group, is a time to be together and share things, sharing the load. You know, it became too heavy. Sometimes it's a good thing. It's good we're here. God called you and me here, away from our families, away from things familiar, into a life of heavy study, heavy hard work, living with people that might not be easy. So it can be good. The studies are good, but the studies are hard. The new friendships are good, but the new friendships are hard. Anyways, it's a heavy load. And Jesus says, don't go it alone. Let's go together. You know, we really need Jesus. How many times are you sitting alone and you just say, I need you. I can't make it without you. But did you ever know Jesus is saying, oh, it's right. I am right here. I live in your neighbors. I live in the people you don't know very well yet. And they are going to be my hands and feet. And we will do this together, all of us. You know, our theme for this year is fix our eyes on Jesus. Well, how do we do that? We can do it together. Sometimes I can't see. Sometimes my faith is too weak. Sometimes I just need someone, or someone needs me. You know, when people stop going to church, you know, people stop going to church sometimes. And it always feels like eh, you know, I'm okay. I don't need them. Oh, what about the ones who need you? You know, the truth is we are not supposed to make it alone. We really do need each other. And the way to Jesus is being together with each other. And Koinonia is going to be a time like that. It's not just a spiritual, deep thing, unless it is. It's not just lots of fun, unless it is. It's not just food and fellowship, but yes, it is. It's all the things. And every group was different. Every group will come in a different way together and share and have meaning in life. And you have other groups on campus and other ways that you relate. But Koinonia is a special time to have fellowship together that we might see Jesus better. At this time, I'd like those who are prepared to help bring the offering plates to come forward. We're going to change up, you know. Soon as we finish with the offering, I'm going to have a special video. And I would like you to just watch it and enjoy it. And while that, come forward, and while the young men and ladies are going to take the offering, they'll just try to find you. You know, this is for Compassionate Ministries. And if you have 5 pesos, okay. If you don't, if you have 20, if you have 100, if you have 500, if you have anything, okay. If you don't have anything, it's okay. Come something with something next week, maybe. Some of us are struggling to eat enough, so I understand. This is not meant to make you feel bad if you can't give. It's just meant to make you feel happy if you can and share with those in need. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this offering. Bless it to help others in Jesus' name. Amen.